This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Walker, and today my guest is Michelle Travis, who is our Director of SEO here at Shop Marketing Pros. And she and I are going to be talking about an interesting topic, and we're going to talk about a lot of different things. But the primary thing we're going to be talking about is why we're creating longer form content on our clients' websites. But before we get into that, I want to take a second to thank our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by ShopBoss. You know, other shop management software makes you work, but ShopBoss works for you. Are you ready to convert clients to members? AppFueled specializes in creating custom apps tailored specifically for professional auto repair businesses. Visit appfueled.com to get started today. Keep your shop top of mind on the mobile device they love. Well, hey, Michelle.
Hey, Brian. How's it going?
I am doing well. I'm glad to have you with me today. This topic, it came up because as we're creating content for some clients, some of them were, you know, complaining a little bit, saying this content is too long. And there's a reason that we do what we do. You know, so I figured it would be a good thing to talk about on the episode today. And we're going to talk about that longer content and some other things that we're doing for some various reasons, including how AI is coming into the mix.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's just like get right into the topic at hand here. Why is it that, you know, Google is preferring long form content? And maybe we can't answer exactly why they do that, but, you know, what is it that we're finding, you know, along the way, you know, as we're experimenting?
Yeah. So as we're experimenting, what we're finding is that, so it definitely, the word count, you don't want to get so focused on the word count or it being so long and hitting that number just for the sake of it, because Google likes relevancy. It likes facts. It likes to know that you're the expert in the topic that you're talking about. So that's where long form content comes in. And it helps us really build your authority or our client's authority on a certain topic and allows us to do it in different ways that speak to what Google likes, to what users like, and as well as now the AI overview.
We used to, in the past, we actually would kind of, you know, focus in on a number. And normally we would create a blog post. It was kind of a 500 word, you know, ish blog post. But what are we seeing now?
So now we're seeing that if we get in this nice little sweet spot, as we like to call it, to where so short form content can be anywhere from 500, or now they're saying anywhere from 1,000 to 1,200 words. And then long form content is anywhere from, you know, 1500 to up to 2200, like pillar pages almost. So what we've found is we've found a little sweet spot between 1200 and 1500 that we like to stay in.
I was going to say, you mentioned pillar pages. I feel like I'm almost the king of long form content, because when we started Shop Marketing Pros, I spent months writing a pillar page called The Ultimate Guide for Auto Repair Shop Marketing that we ended up turning into a book. And that pillar page is it's still on the website, 22,000 words.
It is. And it's also one of our top performing pages and has been historically since it's been on the website.
But it has recently fallen off.
Oh.
For the longest time, it was our top visited page. But now we have a couple of blog posts that are outperforming it. I know one of those is, how do you market a brand new auto repair shop? I forget what the other one is. The pillar page is still in the top five, but it was number one for the longest time.
It was. You had that authority. So now, you know, that just tells us that we need to go back and look at it and just make sure that we update it, you know, see if there's anything that we can add to it to get it back where it was. But, you know, glad to hear our newer content is outperforming in a way as well, because it's putting to practice those things that we're doing.
Yeah. And I mean, those are probably 1500 word articles, the ones that are outperforming it now, but it's also something that, you know, it's capturing a very specific search that people are doing. And there's a lot of people that are searching around the topics. I wish I could remember what the other one was. but maybe I'll come back and put it in the show notes.
The Google Business Profile categories has always been one that has performed very well. And we just recently updated it to make sure that it has the most up-to-date information on it.
But anyway, getting back to Google. Yeah. So what all are you seeing?
So we're just seeing that with the longer form content, we are able to use more variations of a keyword focus or the topic focus. So we are able to blend them in a more natural way. Having longer form content, it doesn't feel as stuffed, that we're able to hit all of the SEO points that we want to hit to be found in the search locally, organically, but also now with the longer form content, we're able to add things in like FAQs, we're able to add in summaries, we're able to add in tables. And so that hits the mark for not only skimmers, those users that are looking for a specific thing that they want to know, they don't want to take the time to read, but also they're ready to like find out what they need and book an appointment, or, you know, they're ready to convert. And then also you've got those people who are looking for the information and want to read it. And so we have, you know, we're able to answer multiple questions surrounding the same topic, the same initial question in so many ways. And so that's not only good to let Google know exactly what's on your page, exactly, you know, what they're looking for. It builds those trust signals with Google, right? Builds your authority as the person who knows what you're talking about when it comes to this. But it expands us now with AI, where there's so many questions that can tie into it, where now specific places in your longer form content can be shown up in the AI overview. Like it links right to those FAQs, or it links right to those specific things that you have on that page for it. So,
yeah. So, you know, the way that I look at it is, you think about what Google's job is, it's to return the highest quality search. You know, that when you are on Google and you're searching for something, you are Google's customer, essentially. And they are in competition with the other search engines to provide the best search result. And they're going to look for the most authoritative, the most accurate, the most complete answer to a question. But then, and we'll come back later and talk about this, they're serving the answer to people right there on the search results page with just a little snippet that gives them the exact thing that they were looking for. So, you know, in our case, you take a client that we're writing a blog article for, and we're talking about the five most common problems with the 6.7 liter Power Stroke diesel. And one of those problems that we talk about is like a high pressure pump or something. And somebody comes and does a search for something about that high pressure pump that we answered. Well, that's just one piece of a much larger article. And Google is pulling that exact thing out of the article. So when we create longer form content, we're creating more detailed, more authoritative content. And I love what you said there about, we are basically giving much more opportunity for the client to show up and search, because we're talking about a variety of things around this one topic that people are searching for in different ways. So, you know, what about the reader experience? We have clients that are, you know, they're saying, oh, this is too long. What are your thoughts on that?
So my thoughts are, is that it goes back to the reader or the user's intent. If, you know, you have somebody on there who's completely interested in the whole entire topic, they're going to read. But also when you have those searchers who just want to know the who, what, why, and where altogether, you know, we have added that to the content as well, to where it keeps them on your site and not searching and looking for more to find, okay, this told me a little bit about this, but let me bounce over here and go back to the search or go find it somewhere else. It keeps them on your website, and it might not keep them there for a long amount of time, but those are more so for those users, those searchers that are ready to commit and book your service. To me, a lot of people aren't going to read the whole entire thing, right? But we're making sure that in this sweet spot that we found, that we are making sure that we are hitting the mark for everyone. They're going to read it or they're not. It's our job to make sure that we make it sound as much like our shops as possible, to make it genuine, to make it conversational, you know, and capture the reader. But at the same time, as long as we are following our guidelines that we know are going to work for search everywhere optimization, I think it really is nothing to really worry about or stress about.
I tend to tell people something that a lot of marketers don't want to talk about anyway. And that is that not many people are going to read in these blogs anyway. Like, it's not the point. And I want to be very careful when I say that, because we're always clear about any time that you create content on a website, you want to create it for, you know, a human reader first. You're not creating the content for the search engine. You're creating it for a human. But very few people are actually going to the website and actually reading these articles. And when they do, the chances are that they're not in a geographic proximity to your shop, that the person who's reading the article is actually going to be the one who's going to bring their car in for work at the shop. So, you know, what we're doing, yes, and we're creating it for a human reader, but we are creating it for the search engine so that they can understand what it is that you as an auto repair shop do and what your specialties are and all of those things. And when it comes to AI, that's even more important now that it has a true understanding of who you are at your shop, what you specialize in, like what you're really good at, what you're qualified to work on, and all of those sorts of things. Because when people are using AI now to get recommendations, they're using these long, detailed prompts where they're asking for, you know, I want an auto repair shop that fits all these requirements. They're putting it all in there. And well, you know, through your blogs and articles and content on the website and things that people are saying about you in reviews and all of these things, that's how it's going to learn that kind of information about you. So to the shop owner who's looking at it and saying, this is too long, my response would be, it really doesn't matter. It does. That longer content is going to help you get found in search, which is the purpose of that content. But just because you're looking at it and you're like, nobody's going to read this, it's too long, that's the part that doesn't matter.
Right, exactly. Because that's the thing, you know, when these AI tools like ChatGPT and all of those were starting to come out, and then it was like people were gravitating and understanding that a regular everyday user is using these things as, you know, their personal assistants and, you know, building these relationships with them. Like, tell me, I'm looking for, you know, certified technicians and the best auto repair shop around and this, this, and this, and this. And so, you know, by this long form content and adapting to that and finding that sweet spot, their question has been, how do I show up in these chat tools when people are asking them about that? And so, that's where this long form content has come in very useful as well.
ShopBoss is software built by shop owners for shop owners. Utter shop management software isn't made to meet the needs of today's independent repair shop. ShopBoss handles the needs of both single and multi-location shops with features that boost efficiency and help you build your business, like built-in DVI and VIN scanner, customizable real-time reporting, and integrated parts and labor guides. ShopBoss was built to be easier and more efficient than solutions that require a steep learning curve or complicated workarounds. Plus, with their Boss Pay payments feature, powered by 360 Payments, you can harness the power of text-to-pay, remote payments, consumer financing, compliance, surcharge, and PayPal and Venmo payment options. Help your techs fix cars faster with intuitive inspection tools that supercharge your operations and keep vehicles cycling through your shop. Whether your goal is to grow your shop, open more shops, or just keep the one you've got running at top speed, ShopBoss has the tools you need to do the things you want to do. Independent auto repair shops, get ready to transform your business with AppFueled. It's time for your professional auto service shop to have its own customer loyalty app. AppFueled will build an app that launches a custom loyalty program for your shop in 30 days or less, fully integrated with your point of sale system. Bring Fortune 500 level customer retention strategies to your business without the Fortune 500 budget. Many shops are enjoying the benefits. Our app engages your customers with a loyalty ladder enticing them to climb the next rung, coming back more often, and spending more each visit, all with your own app. Build loyalty with your customers, to your brand, and boost your shop's growth. Get your first app in 30 days or less, all without breaking the bank. Ready to start? Let AppFueled take your business to the next level. Go to appfueled.com or meet founder Jeremy Glasgow and book your complimentary app vision session at appfueled.com/Jeremy. That's appfueled.com/Jeremy. I have done some searches myself, or I say searches, like chats with AI. So my AI knows me really well, like you were just saying, because of the chats that I've had with it. So it knows that I drive a 2017 Ram 2500 Prospector XL. It knows that we have a 2019 Lincoln Nautilus. It knows that I'm building an S10 Pro Touring truck right now. Like, I chat with it about things, and like, it learns these things about me just like another human being would learn things about their friends and their family and all of that. Like, you know the kind of vehicle that you're, the people that you converse with the most, you know the kind of vehicle that they drive. It just comes out in conversations. Well, when I have been playing around with this to see what it does, you know, I'll go in and put a prompt in, which I just created a GPT that I'm going to be sharing at the Mars conference and then at our Plan with the Pros conference later this year, that is going to help shop owners with like getting recommended in search. Like, as I've been creating that GPT, you know, I'm playing around with it. I'm doing all kind of searches and prompt engineering and all kind of stuff to see like what kind of response I get. And without me telling it that, you know, I'm talking about my Ram, I'll go in and say, I'm looking for an auto repair shop that is within 10 miles of my home that has at least a 4.8 star rating. They have ASC certifications. They have loaner cars, you know, played around with all kinds of prompts. And it'll come back and say, you know, that these are the shops that it recommends, and that, you know, this one, and like one of them that it has showed me before is David Finch's shop, which some of our listeners probably know David Finch because he teaches like at Vision and ASTA and all that, just like we do. But his shop just happens to be like 6 or 8 miles from my house. He specializes in diesel, and it comes up and says, you know, for your Ram 2500, this is the shop that we would recommend, or, you know, that I would recommend. And it's like, I didn't tell you. Well, I did, just not in that particular chat. So like, it knows all of these things about you, and that longer content is getting stuff about your shop out there that the AI is then learning. Now, you talked about how we're doing summaries. I'm still old school. I like to actually, I don't know if summary would be old school or if TLDR would be old school, but same exact concept.
Same concept.
You know, different terminology. Talk about what we're doing with that.
So what we're doing is we are making sure that we are putting summaries, and now we'll even put TLDR on there, you know, just to keep it relevant and with the times. But we're basically summarizing the who, what, why to the question or the topic that we are explaining or talking about in the blog or the service pages. And we're putting that right before the intro into the blog, or we make it the intro to the blog and then just, you know, naturally, gradually transition into touching base more on the topic throughout the content. And what we're also doing as well, so we're answering the who, what, why, where right there and then in a couple of sentences. And so that's not only for the user who wants to know that right away, but that's for, you know, the search who can easily right at the top of your page know what you're going to talk about, why, where, how, right at the beginning. Doesn't even have to skim anymore. But then, you know, of course, we give it more information, but we're also testing and adding these summaries towards the bottom before the closing CTA of the content that we're doing. And it's key takeaways. So we're summarizing at the bottom as well, just to, you know, tie it all back in.
I heard someone say a long time ago that when you're writing or when you're teaching, the formula is you tell people what you're going to tell them, you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. And that's exactly what we're doing here. And by the way, for the uncool kids that don't know what TLDR is, that means too long, didn't read.
Didn't read. Yeah. Because there are people who they don't want to read. They just want to know what they want to know. They don't want, you know, any fluff, any long explanation, things like that. And so that's exactly what we're giving them in these summaries, these TLDRs and the key takeaways.
So you're also doing comparison tables. Talk about that.
So the comparison tables are definitely handy. It makes a longer form content. It breaks it up, makes it easier to follow and read, gives a visual comparison to the reader. So if we're doing a blog for an off-road client and we're comparing mud tires versus ATV tires, that's a great example to do a comparison table. It tells you the differences between them, why they're better for specific things. We'll do it as far as if we are doing why you shouldn't do your own preventative maintenance, why you should trust our experts in it. We'll show you the difference in what happens when you do it as compared to a certified shop that does it. You know, so it's nice to break it up. It gives, you know, more balance to the longer form content where it's not just words. It's for the skimmers. And it also just, you know, establishes your authority and relevance on the topic.
All right. And then beyond the like the comparison tables, you're also using structured content like schema data.
We are. It's very important to make sure that you're using structured data with your content, your website completely, because that really lets the search engines, it lets the large language models that the ChatGPTs and Groks and all of those things use to find their information and present it to the person asking them just exactly what they're going to find the page on the blog post, whatever it is. And then it helps create that relevancy because that's what the search engines and these AI's tools work off of. They work off of entities and everything that they find out on the internet that relates to it. And so that's what that structured data does. It's just basically speaking to the search engines, the bots in their language, and it's nice and structured for them.
Let me try my best to explain this because almost no one who's listening to this is going to know what schema data is. All right. So when we put information on a website, and I'll use an example like the address and the phone number for your business. Well, there might be a couple of different places where I put an address or a phone number. I might have the address and the phone number in the header and in the footer of the website, you know, and that's the address and the phone number for your shop. But then I might be doing a blog post where we mention a detailer that we recommend. In that blog post, I put their address and their phone number in it. You don't want to confuse the search engines with that. You know, this is your website. You got multiple addresses and phone numbers on it. So with structured data, what you're doing is kind of in the code of the website, you are wrapping that information with tags that are basically saying, this is the primary phone number to our business. This is the address to the business. This is the business name. This is our hours of operation. And like all of that is spelled out in the code. Like it would be like if I'm walking down the street and I walk up to a stranger and I just start saying 555-681-2931, 402 North Oak Street, Bozeman, Montana. And they're like, what the heck are you telling me this for? You know, whereas if I walk up to that same person and look, okay, this is still, it's a bad example. It's still going to be weird. But if you walk up to them and you're like, hi, my name is Brian Walker and my phone number is blah, blah, blah. And my address is blah, blah, blah. And if you call between these hours, I'll answer. So you're giving the search engine the information and you're telling it what the information is. Now, back in the day when schema first started, you know, we basically had like organizational schema, and the organizational schema would be name, address, phone number, hours of operation, description of the business, really basic stuff like that. Now there's hundreds of different schema types. So, you know, we have the organizational schema, which is the information about your business. And then we have the about page schema. So it's a schema that you put on the website that is specifically for the about page. There's schema to put on a website that is specifically for the contact page. There's schema that you put on articles on the website. There's schema that you put on service pages. There's schema for various types of business, which there is now a schema for auto repair shops. There's author schema and like all of this stuff that the vast majority of websites that are out there, they don't have it. Like they don't have the schema data, but the search engines love schema because they can be much more sure in the quality and the accuracy of the information that they're presenting in the search results when they're reading it as it's been wrapped in schema. For some reason, and I don't know why yet, because when we talk about AI, like everyone is still learning this stuff. Sam Altman, you know, who is the CEO of OpenAI, who is the company that created ChatGPT, will tell you that they themselves are still learning. Like they'll create a new model and they don't know what it's going to do yet. And they release it anyway. It's kind of scary, but we don't know why the LLMs, like we don't have a definitive answer why they like schema data. You would think that they, because it's artificial intelligence, would be able to make out, just like a human would reading a website, what is what, but they love schema data.
Well, and they love structure. They love organization. They love what is this relevant to? How does this relate? What does it relate to? Because they're then going and searching the entire, you know, database to bring the best answer to the user that's asking them for that answer. And so, you know, the more structured data and relevancy that you have on your website and your content to let them know, like, this is the same as this, ASE certified, that means this. If you connect it to the ASE.com, like their link or Wikipedia links, it just is like, oh, I remember that. And they connect the dots. And then, you know, that builds trust with them because it makes it relevant. And so that makes it relevant for them to show the user.
So let's go back to the TLDRs and the summaries for a minute, because since we have started doing this, you are seeing our clients come up more and more in the AI overview, Google search results, and in AI suggestions. So, you know, tell us a little bit about that. Like we were talking the other day about RV Masters. Tell our listeners about that.
And it's not even just with the summaries, it's with the frequently asked questions that we've added and the comparison tables. Like we've added those things strategically because now AI overview, it used to show up in the top of the search results when you'd go to search something, right? But now it has, you know, just like you can select products, images, things that are relevant to what you're searching and just look at those specific things or videos. There's now a spot for AI overview where you can just have the AI overview and everything about it without the search engine in front of you. And so that's also now been, I don't want to say infiltrated, but lack of better word, it's AI overview has infiltrated the people also ask. So now, you know, when you used to search a topic, people also ask a specific question that correlates to what you're searching for. It would be a link to a website or a video or something like that. Well, now you hit that carrot down and you see a bunch of AI overviews of like, so using RV Masters as an example, they are a Flex Armor roof installer in Louisiana. Flex Armor is its own brand. It's a specific type of roof installation. And so now we were searching to see how they were showing up in the search result and found when we went to the People Ask, Also Ask, like their blog that we recently did about the difference between Flex Armor and RV Armor was linked to different spots in the People Also Ask because of the summary, because of, you know, specific things that we had on there, like what is it made of? What is the pricing? Things like that. So that's where that long form content comes in helpful as well. Because if you answer all these different type of questions that people are asking on the same topic, then all of a sudden you're showing up, as we say, everywhere. You're showing up in the AI. You're showing up the organic search results. Sometimes you might not even see you on the organic search results on the first page, but your blog or content that's specific to that will show up in these AI overviews. And you don't really know. You're thinking you're not showing up, but you are.
Yeah. Don't let me forget to talk about clickless search, but, you know, just to kind of pull together what we're talking about. All right. When we used to write a blog, it would just be a page and it would have, you know, approximately 500 words about a topic on it. And that was it. You know, there'd be a picture there. There would be a decent amount of information that somebody could read in 3 minutes and get an answer that they were looking for. But now, if you go to an article, and this is not like we're still rolling this out, but we've been rolling it out for a little while now, you're going to, at the top of that article, have a summary that is going to, especially if the article answers a question, which best practice is for like the title of an article to be a question. And we don't always do that, but we know that that is a best practice in SEO, is, you know, for the title of the article to be a question. So you're answering a question, and whatever that question is in the summary, you're going to answer it right there. Very quick, short. It's like, there's no detail here, but this is the answer to your question in that summary. Then you're going to go into the article. Somewhere in that article, there might be a comparison table. Down at the bottom of that article, you're going to have some FAQs, and then you're going to have a wrap-up, key points. So this is a long piece of content. Then on the back end of that article, the part that you can't see when you go to it, you would have to go look at the source code of the article, or you would have to be a search engine. There's going to be schema data that's going to give you all of the information about that article. So it's a much more in-depth piece of content than what we were doing just 4 or 6 months ago.
It is. And that's the thing as well, what this long-form content can actually help teach our clients and anybody else who's a shop owner and has, you know, marketing, is that it's no longer just about how you're ranking. You want to be ranking. We want to make sure we are sticking to the foundational SEO practices that we know work and are proven. But also, it's not about how you rank. It's where you're showing up. And that's why we have adapted to search everywhere optimization. Because of these things that we're doing, this is going to allow your shop to show up everywhere. And I even have a great example of that. We have our client, ABS Unlimited, in Fairfax, Virginia, Betsy. And she was playing around with ChatGPT, and she was asking it, you know, the price ranges for brakes on, I think, a 2017, maybe Chevy Malibu. And it was ChatGPT that gave her the roundabouts, like usually cost between this and that and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, well, how do you know that information? And the chat fed her information from a blog, that a brake repair blog that we did on her website. And it just told her, this is what ABS Unlimited said, blah, 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 blah. And I don't even know, she just started playing with chat. And she came back to us and was so excited. And she was like, our blogs really do matter, especially for getting this information over to these chat tools that people are using for their personal information and assistance. And so that was just really cool. She was, you know, super excited. And she had just started playing with the chat. So we could easily say, well, they know she's the owner, and it could easily show her that information, you know, from her blog. But I don't even think she put any of that information in there yet, like didn't have very many conversations.
Yeah. Right now, you know, it's estimated that it's only about 5% of people have started using AI completely in place of search, like traditional search. I know that, you know, I still use Google for many things when I'm searching, but I'm using ChatGPT more and more. And I mean, I play around with the other ones, you know, like Grok. Grok is fun to play around with. Claude, you know, is another one, but ChatGPT is my go-to. I will go straight there, ask it much more detailed questions than I would ever ask the search engine. And like I say, about 5% of people are doing that. So, you know, 5%, you'll think, well, is that worth doing the things that we need to do for only 5% of search? But the widespread adoption of using AI, like, it's just, oh my gosh. You know, you and I were in a webinar together not long ago, and probably one of the smartest people that I've ever heard talk about AI search optimization was talking, and he was talking about how, you know, right now the adoption is not that wide as far as it like replacing search, but, you know, that it's estimated within 3 years, basically the search engines as we know them will be obsolete and that everyone will be using AI. And if you look at just, I mean, you go to google.com and you look at how much AI they have integrated into that. You know, that brings me to the conversation of clickless search. Okay. So people get mad about clickless search, and I understand, I get it. Okay. Because we want that traffic to our websites. We all do. Because when somebody comes to the website, when they actually land on the website, we're able to pixel them. We can retarget them and we can advertise to them from there. And also, if somebody is searching around a topic and we're the ones who answer that topic and we own that content, it's almost like, well, man, the search engine is just, they're essentially stealing our content and using it so that they can sell advertising. And that's exactly what they're doing, you know, if we're real about it. But statistically, people are seeing traffic to their website slow down, but they're not seeing overall leads slow down. And that's what matters, is the number of leads that they are getting. So when we create content and it's specifically made to show up in the AI overview, most of those people that are seeing that content, they weren't going to become your client, you know, because your shop's in North Carolina and, you know, they're sitting in Utah doing a search. You're the one who answered it best. Your shop gets shown in the search results. However, what all of that content does, and the more that you're showing up in the AI overview and the more that you're being suggested by AI and by search as a whole, when someone who is in your area is searching and you've created the website that it's an authority, you're in North Carolina and it's viewed as an authority to someone in Utah who's searching, well, that person who's right down the street from you who's searching and is probably using a more generic search term, you know, like an auto repair shop near me kind of term, it's much more likely that now your shop is going to show up because you've done the work to truly be an authority.
Right. And that's where the traffic might be down, but that's where if we want to shift their mindsets that it's about quality rather than quantity. So those people that are landing on your website are ready to convert. So that's why it's important to remember that as well.
Yeah. So anyway, I hope y'all enjoyed this conversation that Michelle and I have had today, you know, and that it gives you a little peek into what we're starting to do. And I think it's important for you to know that I think many marketing companies are doing this. I know 100% that we're testing like what's getting you to show up in AI search. We are expanding well beyond just your traditional, you know, google.com. Getting you to show up in those results. Like you've heard Michelle use that term a couple of times, search everywhere optimization. We've had discussions in-house about, you know, is AI search optimization a total, is that a different service than search engine optimization? And as of right now, it's not, because we're seeing that there is enough overlap that it doesn't make sense to be broken down into two different services. At the point that what we're doing for AI search optimization is completely different from what we're doing from traditional search engine optimization, at that point, then it's liable to become two different services. Right now, though, we're calling it search everywhere optimization. So it's still SEO, but it's more than just getting you to show up in the search engine. So
it's evolved. And just so they know that we're evolving as it evolves and our services keep evolving and quickly. And that's where it's important for them to know that, you know, we make sure that we are staying in tune with what's going on, testing what works, what doesn't work, you know, things like that. And so it's really cool. It's really crazy. But also, I think it's important because we have really adapted way before this AI time, because we've subscribed from the TAIA method since I've, you know, been hired on with this company. That was back in 2020.
Yeah, which that's they ask you answer.
And so these times is where it's so important to collaborate with your marketing team about what your customers are asking you, questions that come up over and over, specific services. Like we had Branch Automotive reach out when the Ford wrench light was really becoming an issue for these Power Stroke vehicles. And so he was like, he gave us that topic, a little bit about it, and we created content for him on that. And when AI Overview just rolled out, his blogs were showing up in the AI Overview because we already were collaborating with him on that. So it's very important to collaborate with your marketing team, keep them up to date. You know, we don't want you to do all the legwork. That's where we come in. But just, you know, collaboration is key.
Yeah. And Parker and Daniel have told us that that one piece of content has gotten them a lot of work.
Yes.
This type of stuff does get in front of the people who are local to your business and can come in. So, you know, just remember that. But anyway, I hope that you found this an interesting topic. I want to thank our sponsors again for being there and allowing us to do this. Remember, we're one of just a handful of podcasts on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find the others at aftermarketradionetwork.com. I hope that you'll listen in again next week. And until then, remember that in everything that you do, be a pro.
You've been listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Kim and Brian Walker. Follow the podcast on your favorite listening app. Find their emails in the show notes and visit them at shopmarketingpros.com. Let Kim and Brian know what you want discussed, because they're all about advancing the aftermarket.